Okay, let's jump right in. We are launching a deep dive today into the Provincial Strategic Plan, the PSP, which is the Western Cape Government's 2019-2024 blueprint.
That's right.
Our mission is really to quickly synthesize this document for you. It lays out their five core vision-inspired priorities, or VIPs, aimed at, well, tangibly improving lives and livelihoods in the province.
And it's essential for you to understand upfront the really tough context this strategy is built on.
Right.
Well, the WCG, they achieved impressive employment growth between 2008 and 2018, 24.3%. They're now facing some serious headwinds.
Such as.
Well, economic growth is projected to average a pretty low 1.6%, and official unemployment was stubborn, sitting at 21.5% back in Q3 2019.
So the plan has to acknowledge that they need ambitious change with potentially fewer resources.
Exactly. It's about doing more, perhaps differently.
Which makes those VIPs safe communities, growth and jobs, empowering people, mobility and spatial transformation and innovation and culture all the more critical. Let's start where the source does. VIP 1, safe and cohesive communities. They call this the most serious challenge.
And it is. It's urgent. Because a lack of safety fundamentally undermines, well, everything else. The violent crime stats for the region are sobering.
Yeah.
The murder rate, for instance, was significantly higher than the national average in 2017-18. And crucially, the plan isn't just about, reducing the raw number of crimes.
Okay.
It also targets restoring public trust. That had been declining only 58% satisfaction with police in 2017-18. So safety is framed as an overarching theme guiding all interventions.
Right, a foundation. So if safety is the foundation, VIP 2, growth and jobs, must be the engine, right?
You could say that.
But hang on, if growth is only projected at 1.6%, is focusing on big infrastructure and exports the most immediate lever, or is that more of a long game bet?
Ah, that brings up an interesting tension within the plan itself.
Hmm.
They do aim to boost economic competitiveness, investment, exports,
Sure.
but the major cross-cutting constraint is climate change and resource scarcity. Think about the recent drought.
Vividly.
So that forces an immediate focus on resource resilience, leveraging the green economy. The Atlantis Special Economic Zone is a specific example they cite of pivoting towards climate-smart industrialization.
Okay, so we've got urgent safety needs, a tough economic reality. It sounds like the link has to be people. VIP 3, empowering people.
Exactly. And this VIP adopts what they call a life course approach.
Meaning.
It's holistic. Interventions start really early, the first 1,000 days of life, and stretch right through education, youth skills, overall health and wellness.
Attacking structural issues.
Yes, addressing things that limit potential, like the high rate of youth, not in education, employment, or training the NEET rate. And they set a very specific target you might remember, ensuring all learners read for meaning by age 10.
Literacy as the backbone makes sense.
It's fundamental for long-term economic participation.
But those skills don't mean much if people can't actually get to opportunities safely and affordably. Which brings us straight to VIP 4, mobility and spatial transformation. Huge challenge.
A huge challenge. It's about dismantling that physical legacy of apartheid planning while also dealing with rapid urbanization. Net migration has been significant.
So what are the interventions?
It's sort of twofold. First, critical road upgrades and improving public transport, especially rail like the Central Line, which has had issues. Second, actively developing mixed-use, mixed-income
It's
neighborhoods.
integrating communities.
Precisely. The Conradie Hospital site development is the major example they point to there.
Okay, and finally, VIP 5, innovation and culture. This sounds like it's about the government itself, the machinery.
It is. It's about moving governance beyond just, bureaucratic compliance. It's focused on achieving demonstrable public value for you, the citizen.
How do they plan to do that?
It's about shifting the whole organizational culture from being inward-looking to truly citizen-centric, driving innovation for impact, not just innovation for its own sake.
And better coordination.
Yes, strengthening integrated service delivery. Things like the joint district approach, getting different departments and spheres of government to actually cooperate on solving local problems together.
So connecting this all up, all five VIPs seem to be viewed through this lens of resilience.
That's a key theme, definitely. Building the capacity of systems, of communities, to survive and adapt despite shocks.
And resilience needs everyone involved.
Absolutely. The plan relies fundamentally on the whole of society approach, what's this? This isn't just government spending money.
It's broader.
Much broader. It means mobilizing government alongside the private sector, civil society, everyone, to achieve measurable societal outcomes, often using shared funding, collaborative platforms, making everyone accountable.
Okay, so here's a final thought for you, our listener. Considering that economic growth projection is really low, just 1.6%, how critical is that cultural shift in VIP5? You know, building trust, unlocking the non-financial capacity of citizens and society. How vital is that for tackling these really complex, interconnected challenges? Something to mull over.